Hello, friends. Welcome back. My name's Octavia, and this is my astrology podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Today, I am joined by my friend Zylaw, and I am really excited to get into a conversation. Zylaw, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here, and hello to everybody listening.
Awesome. So, as it turns out, Zylaw and I have quite a lot of things in common and things that are mutually inspiring to one another about sort of our trajectory and what we do and what we dig. And so I just kind of want to hand it over to you just to speak a little bit about that.
I think that I want to start by honoring Saturn out loud. I think I'm gonna give Saturn credit.
Oh, Saturn, please,
for
yes.
bringing us together. I think that that's a strong connection of respect and honor. Mm. I think that we, in our friendship, I think that that's one of the things that we connected upon. That just understanding of the assignment of what it is to be human in this space and time, and the diligence, the focus, the seemingly grueling uphill battle of things that we have to go through, but then the wisdom and the mindfulness to be like, oh, there's another front line that I recognize energetically, spiritually, and with the grace of physically. And so, yeah, I wanted to start off by saying, those of you who know, you know. And I think Octavia and I know that. And in our personal life's work, that uphill battle has been something that we have, I would say, have found joy in. And maybe that's a bit of what we want to bring it around to today. It's like, although there is the human grueling feeling, there's also the joy. And
absolutely.
To be allowing ourselves that joy. I think that our relationship is the joy of that.
Yeah.
And the joy beyond the pain.
And the relief, too,
yeah.
of... There's always that moment at the after something is difficult or painful where you get that rush of relief. Like, it's okay, I've done that and felt that, and look at where I am now and where I'm standing in this moment. And I love that you started off with Saturn, of course, because that was one of the first times you said that to me. I was like, huh? Did you just say Saturn?
I
couldn't believe it.
It was really cool because, like, we would see each other in this space, and usually you would, like, just say hi right away, whatever the case. And I noticed, like, each time it's like one of those elevator scenes. Each time I tried to say hi, your head was down, and you kind of looked a little not as joyful as the last time I had seen you. And so I kind of just thought about it, and I was like talking to Saturn, like, just reminder of her power, because I'm like, there was a lot of space between us and I wasn't able to like get to you physically, but then somehow you came back around and then we were standing right next to each other.
That is what happened.
Yeah, and then I was just reminding you, like, hey, Saturn's about to go through this new alignment, so like, just, you know, hold up your chest, you know who you are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I know you know who you are. And you were just very grateful for that because you do know who you are.
It was a huge acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And I think it's really timely, too, for us to be acknowledging Saturn. While I think Saturn is currently at the 29th degree, the last degree, Saturn is about to enter into Pisces. But it is this moment of, for everyone, regardless of your relationship to Saturn, we all have a relationship to Saturn, whether we know it or not. But I think it is a very reflective moment of what have I been doing that has led me here? Like, how have the last 3 years, the last 2 years, the last year, the last 6 months, the last 3 months, because it has been a very intense build up to this point, and it is a very reflective moment. So yeah, for you to say the word Saturn to me, to invoke Saturn at a moment where I was quite weighed down, and it really just sort of lifted me up, and it really encapsulates what you're speaking to about finding that joy, that sort of that other side of struggle where things become really light. I would love, Zylaw, if you would like to share more about what you do because I'm so inspired by it.
Okay.
And I love hearing you speak about it.
Okay. Yay! I will. Here goes. All right. So, Xylo, that's actually my artist name and the name that I give myself for the work that I do when I am standing on the front lines of life and human development and education and empowerment and just connection and love for me. And it means the law of living myself, the law of living true to who I am. It's a breakdown of my middle name, which is Zenobia, which means her father's pride. And also the X and Y, because I love science so much. So the X and Y axis of the X and Y chromosome, balance, just everything you could think of with X and Y, math and calculus. It just goes into everything physical, metaphysical. So the law and the scientific law of living life the way I see it. And when I say I mean I mean me and you, I mean everybody. In the place where I am you and the place where you are me. And when I say myself, it's taking ownership of the self that I am in you and the self that you are in me. So when I speak and I say I equals we. It's the same. So from that vantage point, I began my work, which is called Sacred Dialogue, which means sacred as in private, sacred as in secret and consensually secret to yourself, where I find, based on my life experience, which I will speak a little bit to, based on my life experience, I feel like we've been forced to share things that we're not ready to share too quickly.
Yes.
And so I created this work, this intuitive artistic work that I do called Sacred Dialogue, where essentially I teach people to trust themselves. And I have created like 5 main parts of self, which go from the protective side of your nature all the way to your most wondrous, exhilarating, exploratory sides and silent sides and everything in between, creativity and intimacy, everything. And it's just a matter of having that be sort of a boardroom inside of yourself and making
that.
Decisions in a way that no matter the outcome, you trust yourself. You trust that there was a part of me that needed to have that experience.
Yes.
And I honor that part of me. And I console that part of me if things went very difficultly. And if
yeah.
things went wonderfully, go me.
Yeah.
And either way. So
I love that.
That's one thing. But that was actually created because of my work with ProSafe, which is my NGO. And that has to do with surviving sexual assault. And as an activist living in the Caribbean, which is where I'm from, in a very small island, putting my story out was putting not just my story out, but was putting my family's story out. And I got a lot of pressure and attack. And living in St. Lucia in that small environment, that small island environment, I went through a lot from living out loud. And I was suffering tremendously and under a lot of pressure, losing almost all the support I thought I had around me and being attacked in ways I did not see coming. And it sent me into a very painful, very dark place in myself where I realized, although I had felt so alone in many ways, I had not ever felt that kind of emptiness. And that's kind of where Sacred Dialogue came from, because I realized that I only had me. And I feel we live in a world where when you only have you and you're all alone and you're feeling desperate and neglected and isolated and violated and just, I could go on and on. I'm sure if you're listening, then you know the feelings. Personal to you, where we would have had those same feelings. I feel like we live in a world where when you're your own best friend, you're made to feel like there's something wrong with you. And I wanted to flip that. I created Sacred Dialogue so that by virtue of really understanding what it is to stand by my side, to stand by my own side, Like when you sing "Stand by Me," like sing that to yourself in the mirror is what I had done for myself and what I do with my clients.
Mm.
And sing that to yourself and see what that really means in context to what you're going through, and realize that you can only really allow the truest access to who you feel you really are by allowing yourself to explore who that really is every moment of every day.
Mm. Yes, even when it's not convenient.
Especially when it hurts the most and you're most terrified and you have that moment that I always have, like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. Oh my God, I'm going to say this.
Mm.
You know, I found myself going through that so much, and I didn't want to be a victim of who I was to me. I didn't want to treat myself like, oh my God, why did we decide to share this? Like, look at what we've done. We've messed up our whole life. Why did we do this? You know, I wanted to sit in the anguish, hold it, and then build myself up out of it, through it, never forgetting the anguish, never dishonoring it.
Mm.
I still remember it fully, thoroughly, but I went through it, so I'm not the same beast.
That's right. Well, it's a catalytic energy.
Exactly.
You wouldn't come out of that the same.
Yeah. And I wanted to pour that love and life experience into everyone I met. It didn't matter what you were going through and how similar or how minimized it seemed relative to another comparative, because that's what we're trained to do in our human socializing.
Sure.
It didn't matter. I have modalities in my work where you don't even have to tell me what it is. I never have to actually know what it is, because when I get to the place of you answering for you how you feel about it, you know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to qualify it. You don't have to quantify it. It is true. And your internal justice system, your inner Supreme Court knows what happened, knows it's true. And that's it.
Yeah. I feel like this is also resonant of Saturn in a way. It's like not having to have the external validation or, you know, having to like convince anyone that it happened a certain way. I mean, there's just something about that level of resolve internally that is untouchable. I mean
that the word resolve has literally saved my life.
Yeah.
And I have Saturn in my seventh house, in my house of relationships, and it is my relationship to myself and to the way I live my life is foundational and fundamental and resolute and necessary and vital. If I didn't have it, I definitely wouldn't be here. And I would completely understand why if I wasn't here. I'd be completely fine with that for me.
I hear you.
But I am here, and I feel like I am the ultimate clapback. And again, when I say I mean all of us who know what I'm talking about and who have had that feeling that I'm describing on an energetic and essential level. I am present, we are present, and we are resolute, and we are resolute presence. And we are here not just for a reason, but we are here for triumphant, phenomenal reasons and experiences that not only do we get to experience ourselves, but Octavia and I are here for all of us to be able to experience each other.
Yeah, and to share, right?
Yes.
Because that's where the magic 100%. Happens, sharing it.
Yeah.
And it's even sweeter coming out of those depths for me and what I've experienced and being able to come out into the light and share, what came from that, like what buried treasure got unearthed that couldn't have been discovered any other way.
That part.
And there's innumerable different ways to find it, but there's also a very limited access to what we're speaking to.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it feels so good to share it too. Like, hey, guess what's possible?
Yeah.
Guess what we have within ourselves? Like, that is just there waiting for us to find it. Each and every one of us, you know? Thank you for sharing your...
Thank you for asking that. Yeah. And it's good to hear myself answer it after so long.
Mm.
And as much as you're saying, like, as much as you're saying... 2 years, 3 years, a few months, like, if we're going to be giving that full honor, Saturn is 7 years.
Yes.
So
3 years in the sign.
Yeah.
It's been Aquarius.
So, but why I'm bringing that up is, like, we really been out here doing some work. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't use grueling lightly because, no. Like, it's a whole psychological developmental season, a personal,
yes.
You know, a personal season. And for us to be having that grace to connect now and share who we are now, share the joys of, maybe we should just say that. Who are we now?
Yeah, like, who are we?
Who are we now?
Yeah. to the listener, who are you now?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, when you reflect on that, like, who are you now? Like, I think I'm literally, like, in this vulnerable moment, putting that question to both of us.
Yes.
And seeing what we both come up with. Like, you know, not rushing to the mic, but taking that little moment and, like, reflecting right now in real time, like, who am I now? And who is the me that's going on this new 3 year, 7 year cycle?
Absolutely.
And what do I project for? What's the trajectory that I'm setting for the next few that's coming?
And I mean, just to even add to that, collectively finding ourselves in this moment too and asking who we are collectively that is different than what it's been, because everything is different to what it was, and it is only going to get increasingly different from the past, from this point forward, based on, you know, Pluto changing signs and Saturn. So there is a huge quantum leap that is available to us right now if we're willing to take this time, this pause, this moment of honoring and reverence for where we find ourselves.
I'm going to jump in and just answer the question for myself.
Great. Please.
So I'm going to answer it through my first house in the I am. And who am I now? I am so much wiser, so much happier, so much freer. I am so ready for the strength of softness and the wisdom of softness. I am in partnership with life in such a triumphant way. Go me!
Yes.
What? yeah, I'll stop there for now, but that's what flowed out of me, and I just want to thank Saturn for that and thank us for this moment in time where it's like raw, just flowing out of me, like, upon my reflection of the last Saturnian shift and coming up at the top of this 2023 year, projecting for the forward. That's who she is, and I'm excited for her. Me.
I'm excited for you, her, too.
And you? What's coming? Yeah. What's flowing? What's shareable?
I think, who am I? Honestly, the thing that comes in right away is I am the woman that I've always wanted to be. And that feels so good. To say, to embody, to live, to step into. It's like being this version of myself that I didn't, for a long time, I never thought would be possible, or even what it would look like, or who she would look like, or who she would be. I just had this faint sense of it. But I feel that now in who I am, and she isn't easily rocked, you know, by much, and I am her. I mean, it feels so good to be with myself in the ways that Saturn has shown me I can be with myself, and to truly trust myself, to trust my softness, to trust in action, to trust pausing and waiting and witnessing, and being able to forgive myself and love myself and accept myself in my darkest moments, being able to see myself with compassion in those moments is probably the most rewarding thing that's come from these recent years. So I'm really excited to speak those out loud.
Yeah, it felt really good, like, to hear myself say mine and to witness you saying yours. Like, and then when you said it, like, the wind just blew and it was just like...
Did it? I didn't
even
notice.
It was such an elemental moment to affirm that I am the person that I've always wanted to be, that I am the person that I've always seen myself becoming. Like, to hear you say that and to see where that resonates with me and to see if I can say that that's my truth too, and to what extent is it, and how long have I been there? I feel for me, I've been there a bit of a while in some extent, but in another way, I feel like there's so much I hadn't been aware of before that was there for me, inside of me, for me.
Yes.
I feel I can finally, like, relax into that now.
And relaxing is a huge part of it, I think.
Yeah.
I just don't feel the need to resist or react as much as I used to. I certainly still do it on some days. But yeah, being able to relax and giving myself permission to do that has also been massive. And, you know, it comes with Saturn. It's that authority of self. It's having that sovereignty over my own feelings. And even when my own feelings are in the driver's seat and bigger than anything else, still being able to give space to myself.
I feel like especially when though, right?
Oh yeah.
Like with that sovereign, I think that's the paradoxical tilt or shift that happens when you've experienced that sovereignty. There's no need for a further explanation of it.
Yeah.
It's just embodied. It's just.
Yeah. And embodied.
It's embodied. There you go.
What was it you said the other day? The Supreme...
Oh, our inner Supreme Court.
Our inner Supreme Court. Yeah. Yes, yes.
It's just... That's the ruling. I'm just being. I'm just out here being. And we're out here being. And that's what we kind of spoke about a little bit before we actually, like, pressed record and started this. It was just that idea of we're out here being and flowing, allowing ourselves to experience our own selves and each other, allowing ourselves to change our own lives and each other's, and finding that joy on the front lines of life to know that there are other people who have been in that very alone on our own space for a long time for very vital purpose, but we get the grace of finding out that we're existing alongside each other and living a nod. Like, our relationship is like a living nod of honor to each other.
Definitely.
That's how I feel about it. And I feel like when we spoke about talking today, it was like we were sure that we would not run out of things to say. But at the same time, I feel like there's so much space for the silence and grace of just resting in the connection.
Yeah.
That we're here.
Yeah, you even said to me, and I just have to share this with the listeners because it was so good. We could just do a silent podcast. Yeah. And I said, like, you know, 2 hours of silence. And, yeah. I was like, I would listen to that.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, me too.
To honor, and like, you know, Saturn, we love you, but to honor Mercury and the Moon, because we looked up those alignments today when we decided to schedule today.
Yes.
And Octavia specifically did. And, you know, the silence, the Selah moments, the pause in the music, the reflection, not rushing off and saying eloquent things and just moving from one topic to another to sound smart or whatever that others may do, but to just really feel and listen to ourselves and each other while speaking, and to want that for those listening. Like, are you listening to yourself while you are speaking? And what do you feel, what's the aftermath of that?
Great question. And also to the listeners, when was the last time you were able to speak to who you are now? And can you create that for yourself, perhaps, if it feels true? Yeah, I mean, and there is something about speaking truth, and this is another thing I think that has brought us into connection, is having been initiated into truth speaking in situations that were not ideal or even allowed. And once, I think, for me anyway, going through an experience like that, I mean, the truth has never felt better. It's medicine. It's necessary.
No, like, same. And actually, it's so funny. Like, I was thinking just a few days ago, maybe 2-3 days ago, I was thinking that not only does the truth not need defending, as it's, you know, there's like memes or whatever out there about that, but it also is so nurturing and protecting. It's so assuring. It's not that it doesn't need defending.
Yes.
Something about it, again, you're living that paradox. When you have decided and you have stepped out in yourself, and then you've actually let it come out of your mouth or come out of your embodiment and living and your responsiveness, and you're cultivating that every time. And every time you go through a certain thing, you live it a little more, a little louder, whatever it is. It takes care of you.
That's right. Yeah.
And
it does.
I just want to big up my truth for that, and myself for living my truth. What up, truth?
What up, truth? Thanks for holding me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for cradling us and holding us down and holding us up in the right ways at the right times. And we just want that for anybody listening. If you haven't yet had that experience, and if you have had that experience, and this is a nod to you. Like, we see you, we feel you, we're right there alongside you.
Because it is a risk, right? Always. But well worth the risk. And even and especially at moments where it feels like there is no safety net, one will emerge when the truth is involved.
One will emerge, and at the same time, you become it. Like, yes. You become the safety net. Life becomes the safety net. Your relationship to yourself and to life becomes the safety net.
Yes.
And just the assurance. It's not even a safety net anymore for me. For me, it's a given.
Yeah.
I'm in that place now.
Yeah.
You know, and I've gone through a lot to be in that place and to not know if I would be here. And honestly, to still sometimes not know if I will be here, but to not be affected by that. Yeah. I'm not sad or scared by that. I'm not terrified by that.
And not where governed by
yeah,
that.
It's not debilitating. It probably adds, with the wisdom of Saturn and the expression pacing of Mercury and the mindful emotional balance of the moon, it just sets the pace.
Yeah.
It orchestrates the situation.
Yes, that's right. That's a really good way to put it.
I mean, recently I had shared one of my interviews with you, and I hadn't read that in a long time. And while that was my truth the day I was doing that interview, when I look back at her and what she went through, what I went through, what we went through from that time, all the support that I was speaking to in that interview that I had, I lost.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so reading it like just this weekend, just before, like,
wow.
It was like, wow, girl, like, you were out there honoring all these people who you, I mean, they were doing what they thought was their way of supporting, but when it actually came down to it, the aftermath of their very curated support was not effective, was not fair, was not what I needed, and was not open to what I needed, and held me ransom for that. And I lived through that, and I lived to allow myself to learn every day to thrive through that, and to learn what thriving really looks like in real time to me, not some bells and whistles that people might project onto us, but literally just freaking breathing and drinking water and taking a shower and getting yourself up again.
Yes.
Or not.
Or not.
And just allowing yourself to sit in it, all of it, and holding yourself in that devastation and anguish, and just knowing that this is you lovable right now, just like this.
Yeah.
Stinky and a mess. Mm-hmm. This is you lovable.
Yes. I think, and I wanted to speak to this, and as I was feeling this, you started to share around that, the aftermath of that interview. And I just think there is so much around the structures that we are all in that make it very difficult to find support, like the sort of support that you were talking about that you thought you had. Mm-hmm. And I think this can be like some of the most treacherous water to navigate through these things, from my experience and from what I've heard from others, is being able to know who you can trust and count on, who isn't going to then, when it comes to speaking out openly about sexual assault, because there's a lot at stake. I mean, there's a lot to gain, there's a lot to lose for other individuals, and more often than not, there is more to lose on the side of the perpetrator in terms of their status, their position, whatever it may be, you know, and their connections, than it is for whoever is the one who has had the experience brought upon them. So I just think that I just wanted to name that for the listeners, 100%. For anyone listening, if you've had an experience and that was then followed by an experience like what you've just heard, I think that that is unfortunately all too common. But you are not alone.
So for me, again, when I say me, I mean all of us. So for all of us, what I say often to my kin, which is what I call clients, which also a bit tangential there for a sec, speaks to the kinetic energy, us as we are. People like to talk about, oh, we have so much potential. Yeah, we all have so much potential. Absolutely. Everything is infinite. But also in the absolute and contextual present moment, you are so freaking amazing, so capable, so highly adept and qualified to stand up in your power and speak your truth.
Mm.
Or not speak your truth, but know it. Know it in your core, whether you choose to verbalize it or not.
Yes.
And so with that, what I always remind my kin of, after a few years of having done this work, it's been like 16 years now doing it out loud. I always remind us that those who are trying to violate us actively and premeditatively, consciously or unconsciously, do not bank on us standing up for ourselves and each other.
That's right.
They don't bank on it. And I am here to tell you that I am standing right beside you, that we are standing right beside you.
Yeah, right.
Physically,
beside you.
Telepathically, spiritually, energetically, however it is you will accept us. You have access to us and many like us in your community that you may not be aware of, but we are all around each
That's
other.
That's right.
We are there. And your truth, life knows it. You are life. You know it. We are life. We know it. We live it. we have risen from it and through it. We will come back for you. Mm-hmm. We will go through it again and again with you, because now we know that there are infinite, masterful outcomes.
Yes.
And we did not get that poured into us before this happened to us, but we poured it into ourselves. We're here to pour it into each other, Octavia, yes, and myself, and we're here to pour it into you, whoever, yeah, is listening.
Yeah.
And to make you know that you do that for other people too, or yes, you wouldn't even be here listening.
That's right. Yeah, we pour and we receive, and we give and receive and channel. And we are very lucky to be living in a time where the tide is turning, mm-hmm, more in the direction of truth, of individual truth, no matter what that looks like. It's all coming to the light. And the more that we can speak out the truth as such, in whatever form, however it may take shape, the more it gives others permission to do the same. And I think that, for me, has felt like a big part of doing this podcast in a lot of ways. I mean, I was growing up, I was told that astrology was evil and, you know, stay away from it. And, and you know, there's nothing wrong with voicing. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's not harming someone else. You know, voicing truth is the essence of being human. It's what makes us different from plants and animals, really. Having a consciousness, having a perception that we can express. And we are living in a very cold, kind of inhuman, just because of the digital nature of progress and innovation. I mean, the first form of innovation was fire, and I'm sure there were plenty of people who were very anti-fire, you know, because of, for a number of reasons. But if it weren't for fire, we'd still be in the dark ages, you know. And fire was probably previously thought of, like AI is thought of now, like, you know, like, oh, it's the devil's work, you know, whatever. And it kind of is, but I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's, we're in this very, Satan is the warm one. And then there's the other deity that's the cold one. It's left my mind. It'll come in a minute. It's the cold, removed, detached. It's kind of the opposite of Satan as an archetype. And that's kind of what the lower octave, like the dark underbelly of Aquarius is. It's this, it's like Terminator stuff that's so far removed from reality and takes over and is cold and unfeeling. And anyway, so this is kind of the side of the polarity that we're on, because we have so much individual attention and curation of our reality now, that it is in a way pulling us into a more individualistic way of living. But this is also why I think speaking to all these things is so important, because we are, is essential that we come back into connection in these ways that bring our authenticity and our truth back to life, and integrating them into one another, integrating the digital realm, the individualistic realm, into each other's lives differently, because it's different than it was. I mean, since the pandemic, like, we don't connect the same way as we used to. It's like it has more gravitas, like coming together with another human being, at least in my reality. So yeah, it just feels really good to speak to that in the context of this conversation.
Wow, my mind went so many different places while you were saying all of that. So two off the top of my mind that are shareable is like bringing it back all the way to the beginning of our time as human. I just saw the evolution of the cauldron, because now, like, I feel like this mic is a cauldron,
and we're
just like putting wonderful spells nourishment into the cauldron for those who are funneling it out on the other end. So
yeah,
what up?
Yeah, definitely the cauldron.
And then just We did a bit of honoring space and time off air before we started. But I think that honoring that we have come through the pandemic to the extent that I'm sitting here with Octavia in the same space, very close to each other. That's really something that we can't take for granted.
That's right.
Like as of so recently, and as of also so presently, some people are still in that environment where they're not able to move through that in a way of comfort, you know. And so I give thanks to ourselves and each other for allowing ourselves that humanity. And so I'm just laughing at the cosmos and how it just is like, okay, you guys can beat around the bush if you want to, but you guys are going to be like pouring into the cauldron in this specific way, to the specific degree apart. Like this amount of humanity is happening to you right
Yes, it's all
now.
very measured, right? It's all happening, and it's
So I give thanks for that, and then it brings me back to a different place in time, just watching cultural differences, humanity differences, where people who identify as human and woman would not have been able to have safe space in a mic to share perspectives. And I never
Absolutely.
take radio for granted. I never take the technology and the instrument and the safe space of radio, the free space of radio for granted. And on both ends of it, those who, like us, allow ourselves the conscious choice to share what is shareable, and those who allow themselves to listen. And I just want to give so much thanks to all of us right now who are participating in this moment in time, whatever that moment in time will be in this fluid timeline, that we just give so much thanks to ourselves for finding it in us to share what's shareable and to listen to what's shareable and to allow it to impact us truthfully and allow us to experience ourselves and each other fully.
Absolutely. And since I've come back from Australia, the pace of the US is,
Welcome back.
back. It is, I'm still adjusting. And so it feels even more potent to be making, having that acknowledgement, given the pace of things. It is, I remember the pace before I left, but that was 2016. So it was a different country to what it is now. And I'm not on the mainland. We're not on the mainland. So that also implies that there are differences. But for the most part, the pace is really strong, really fast. And the current is, overwhelming most days. And we were speaking a bit about this before we pressed record. And so I just wanted to name that, though, in relationship to what you just said about finding the time to do this, the space, and within the context of this really strong current that we are existing in space.
I also want to say hi to St. Lucia if you're listening, because of course you will be listening, and Barbados specifically, because that's where I'll definitely be sending this ride to be, and Jamaica and Trinidad and Dominica, but the whole Caribbean. That's where I'm from, and it means a lot to me to allow myself and my work, again, our life's work, to find its humanity in every geographical and cosmic location and technological location, because these are the great things about our human advancement when we can utilize every tool for our humanity, for connection, for resolve, for self-reflection and refinement, for lovingly holding each other up and calling each other out and holding each other to our power. And I that's another thing that's very important to me in my relationship with myself and with my kin and everyone in my life. So I always say I hold us to our power. I hold us to our truth. And sometimes that might seem different or difficult to digest in a contextual moment, but I'm going to midwife with you and ride it out with you. I'm going to hit the lows with you, and we're definitely going to be soaring through the highs and the resting plateaus and all of that. So, yeah.
I really appreciate just what you had to say earlier about how speaking your truth, you know, and I'm sure it, that in itself has had an evolution of how it feels each time, mm-hmm. and then reflecting back on it each time and reflecting back further on it, as you were describing after reading the interview. And I just wondered if you wanted to speak to that a little bit more about how the evolution of speaking your truth has, what that experience has been like, and in the reflection back on it at different intervals.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a powerful and loving question, and full of measure, because not just the measure of like reflecting and the measure of you like kindly asking in your actual like word sound of how you're asking, but the many measures of self, like just who I was and how tall it, one of my friends said to me one time when I was going through something very difficult, he said he was so proud of me and that he wants me to know that he sees me as a person who is tall inside.
Mm.
And so I've utilized that,
love that,
in my life's work so much. I love you, one, wherever you are. And so to see how tall inside he thought I was then.
Yeah.
And that was before I started this dimension of my work.
Mm-hmm.
I was already doing so much work before I had decided to say, as a therapist, I wanted to come out and say that I had been violated specifically in these ways in my life. And at that time, when I gave those accounts of what had happened to me and what I had experienced, there were things that had happened when I was like, one was 3 years old, one was 17, and one was 24. So by the time I had put my story out and I had published it, my business partner and colleague and co-founder for my NGO and I, Soya and Dathon Hackshaw, we had put our stories out. But I have been violated since I put those stories out.
Mm.
So even that, as an active activist, what that was like being violated as a professed activist, because people come for you when they figure, oh, you think you're so strong.
Right.
And
wow.
So there are so many dimensions to this question when I say the measure, that I could not have fathomed. My measure of me could not have fathomed what I was about to go through. When I thought it was just the putting of the story out, when that took me forever, mm-hmm. for in my measure and time, I had my childhood friend, like I said, and colleague, when Sue had said to me first, she said, "Vel, I'm gonna put this story out," referencing my government name there. she said, "I'm gonna put this story out, no matter what. I'm gonna put it out with or without you." She's gonna put out her own story, and I saw every emotion in her eyes, and I wanted to be that strong. I wanted to be there, and I wasn't there for me, but I was definitely going to be there for her.
Right.
And I had to do so much work in me to take full ownership of, not only are you going to be there for her, you are going to be able to be there for you. And I said to her, "I'm going to put mine out with you. We're going to do this."
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat down like maybe 2 or 3 days after I had like verbally said that to her, because I'm a person of my word and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down at my laptop and I wrote like the first sentence, and I was a disaster. And I couldn't write again for 6 months. I put one line and I couldn't write anything again. And just reliving it. And putting it into words. And then, of course, there was incest in my situation, my first violation. So it wasn't just my story. It was my family's story.
Yeah.
And again, living in a Caribbean environment, in a small island community,
yeah,
even if you're not from the Caribbean, we all live in our little towns and we know what that's like. There's always some geographical radius for all of us, our social network for all of us. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not from that specific place, I know you can relate. And I had to consider everybody in putting that story out, you know. And so that took a lot. And then doing it, not finally making it, putting the story out and doing the interviews and getting asked all sorts of horrible and very good questions, and putting myself through that process of answering them out loud in real time, but then dying every night afterwards by myself in my bed, just like, oh my God, why did they ask me that? Why did I say that? Standing by myself in it,
yeah,
but still realizing how much we are on our own and how much that is a powerful place to be.
Yes. It reminds me of, there are some things about it that are similar to, I guess, coming out, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and having to think about the ripple effect of the community, of the family unit, of how it's going to be received. And there, you know, and it's interesting because it is a violation, really. I mean, anyone who is open about their sexuality, it's really not appropriate to ask any questions of anyone about their sexuality. I mean,
that's not a world that that's a world that we're building, though.
It is.
We're building that awareness that it is absolutely not acceptable to force disclosure.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the world that we grew up in, and that's why consent is such
a
very successfully interwoven violation, where the lack of consent, rather, the taking away of consent,
yes,
is such a intricate wound, because
yeah,
there's so many things that you're made to share about yourself before you can even understand it about yourself.
I'm so glad you pulled it back around to that, because I love that aspect of your work and what you speak about and how that is what is brought upon us, you know, to share before we're ready.
Yeah. And to not have the space to say, I'm not ready to answer that yet, without saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to, like, I don't have to be sorry. I am not sorry that I'm not ready to answer that. That's such a private, wonderful thing for me to go find out by myself. And I'm not probably ever going to share that with you.
Yeah.
Or maybe I will, but in my own space and time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much coercion of the concept of choice that it becomes such a dangerous thing. And that's another part of what I suffered with a lot, which I'm so grateful to be free and out of, as far as the awareness of it, not necessarily as far as the mastery of it by my own self-measure.
Mm.
But specifically, I found myself in positions where, because consent was taken away from me, and I was like running for that straw of grasping at the straw of, okay, this is my choice, right? This is my choice, right? Like I choose to have this conversation with Octavia, right? Or did I?
Mm.
Am I choosing to have this conversation? Like, am I? And I mean, yes, I can stand and say 100% I am choosing, but I have to also go back for the me who did many interviews that I wasn't choosing to do.
Yeah.
That I was coerced to do, that I was manipulated into doing, that I was bullied into doing. And I rocked all of them. When I look at them, I you know, I hold her up, and I'm grateful for the me who put herself through that, because I knew I was saving some life somewhere. I was saving my own life at a point.
Mm.
But I also hold that person who put me in that those people who put me in those situations accountable in my inner Supreme Court. You knew what you were doing, and you are absolutely wrong. Whether I come for you in the physical or not, I want life to know that I knows that you were wrong for doing that, and that I have never put anybody in that position in this life.
No. Yeah. I hear you.
So there's a lot of measure and growth to understanding what you hope is shareable and what's not. And I'll give one last little thing that's coming up inside of me to share, which is when I started doing my own somatic healing work for myself, and I had a person that I was working with, there was a part of the work where I was supposed to allow myself to keep how I was feeling. But I had never been asked how I was feeling with so much genuine openness and love that I was so desperate to share with the person who was helping me how I was feeling and how I was doing. And she kept guiding me like, this is not the time and space for you to share it. This is the time and space for you to keep it. And
wow.
It was so difficult. I mean, we got to process it thoroughly through. She was awesome. But just that one component of the healing was so difficult because it just ripped me apart, realizing how many times I had been asked a question about how I was really doing. And it was only for the benefit of a violator. It was never for the benefit of how I was really doing or for my own awareness of how I was really doing. It was all for some other person's projection or performance. And it wasn't really for their benefit and definitely to my detriment. It always went that way until I started realizing you don't have to answer that.
Yeah.
You never have to answer that. Mm. You know, and I remember one time this woman who is sort of like a grandmother to me, I was in a very difficult intimate relationship and she asked me, how are things with him? And I hesitated to answer and she said, I want you to know that that's none of my business.
Oh, beautiful. Wow.
And I was like, wait, what? You just like...
wow, what a gift.
You just turned it up for like... for me, and you really like hurt some people because like the fact that you gave me that love and permission to give myself my own permission, you flipped it. And I thank you for that, and I will eternally hold her for that, and I share that with everyone in my life. I share that story all the time, and I mean you so much love in sharing you that story that that you have obviously the space to share every wonderful erotic thing that you want to share with anybody at any point in time if you really want to share it. But if you really don't want to share it, and if you're not in a space to share it, and if you never want to share it, you absolutely have that right to never ever share it.
That's
nobody's
right.
business.
That's right. Absolutely. I was outed and in high school and in Georgia in the Bible Belt in a very Republican, conservative region. And I completely agree with everything you've said. It is, you know, when you say something or share it before, I mean, it wasn't even me that did it, but it is taking that away from yourself.
Yeah.
Because to have the right time and the right space to do it is, it's just such a gift that you can give yourself to arrive at that moment and that time in full alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly something I appreciate, I think a lot more than I would have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of there's also a lot of pressure to have an opinion. Here, I've noticed since coming back from Australia, everyone, you know, generally culturally, I don't want to say everyone, but culturally it's like having an opinion is a mandate. If you don't have a stance one way or the other, it's like, well, what's wrong with you? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, there's something about that too that is of the same, like what we're talking about.
It's all consent. Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to be made to have an opinion on something that I don't feel ready to form an opinion on.
But also, let's just like, let's make love to that statement. Like, having an opinion, let's use the word have to hold, like let's like make it tangible for a second.
Yeah.
If I have and hold an opinion inside of me, let's say I have happened to have cultivated one and I have one. Let's say I have one. It's not your business.
No.
And we have to know that we are consciously and conscientiously building a world that understands that, because that's not the world that we generally grew up in.
No.
That is the world that we were actively violated in, and it was the law it is still the law to share your opinion, and specifically COVID has been a major violation. In my opinion, that I have actually cultivated and am comfortable to share.
Lovely.
It's a very dangerous place, specifically for disclosure, because it put us in a place where people were sharing their health status, which is something that is 100% private and confidential, also according to same said law, whatever. And it put us, it forced us in a position to share your opinion based on your health status that you were still learning what it was, because the health status of all of us was changing at that time. So, and still is, we also are forced into, speaking of this post-COVID thing, when people are still actively suffering from the transformation that has been initiated onto us since 2019. And it is still a very highly traumatic, very progressive thing that people are still going through. And intimate partners, families, bodies themselves have suffered tremendously with this need to force you to form an opinion, and then force you to have one, apparently, and force you to share it. Only must you have it, and you must also share it.
Identify as it. Yes. Like, have it be a part of your identity.
Yes.
Because
and then that means you're making a decision about our whole life, and it just and it ripped families apart. It ripped intimate connections of all sorts apart, and it ripped people within themselves apart. And we're still enduring that. We're still going through that.
Yeah, it's true. It's ongoing, and we're still finding our way back to each other. And I think this is another...
Or successfully away from each other.
Or, yeah. Depending. But yeah, I think this is why another thing that we really have a lot of agreement on and place a lot of value upon consent, because it has been such a powerful force in both of our lives that has made us more aware, made us more conscious, more... what's the word?
Powerful and loving.
Because I think, yeah, advocating for consent, it's not just about sex. It's not just about rape or, you know, the stuff that, like, is automatically kind of attached to consent. It just trickles down onto so many levels. And that's something I really appreciate about the way that you present yourself and the way that you share what you do and you interact, and it actually makes me want to be more I guess integrated with my value of consent.
You want to have an opinion about your own
I want to form and hold and have one day have my very own opinion about consent.
That's so beautiful. And that's what, you know, it's also integrated and all comes around full circle, and is also intercoursing. It all becomes so erotic and life-giving in that way, because...
That's right.
The entity that wants to destroy without consciously recreating, because destruction is a powerful part of nature. Let's not throw destruction away. But the entity that wants to do that only for the sake of violation and destruction wins when we don't realize the vast and fluid capacity for all of these words that we're throwing out about consent and opinion and people and humanity, and these words that we're just utilizing. They're spells. They have so much depth and dimension. There's so much love in all of them, and when you're constantly on the run and fighting against the right for this and the right for that, and getting yes. caught up in it. They bank on us doing that. They don't bank on us actually sitting and saying, wait a minute, maybe I want to have an opinion. And then right away, if you were to say that out loud, they'd be like, oh, yes, you do. And what is it? That's the part that's violating.
That's right.
I can want to have an opinion, and I can also want to never share it with you.
Mm.
And that is 100% my right and fine.
And that can actually mean that you value your opinion supremely.
Exactly.
Because you don't share it.
Exactly. And so, and then it's a beautiful thing when you find yourself, after holding it so sacred for so long, finding spaces where you just easily want to share it.
Yeah.
And that's really beautiful. And then, so it doesn't become a thing of identity in a burdensome legal way, but it becomes a thing of identity in just another point of specificity, another dynamic, another superpower that you just have in your bag, in your toolbox, another part of your embodiment, another way of life, another inner culture that you carry, another language.
And the words will land differently.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be received differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find
resolutely
it, yeah
mm-hmm.
I find in my experience the things that I have really what's the word I'm thinking of, like an egg in a, you know, incubator, the things I've really incubated within myself over time that I finally decide to share very simply, they have a different effect, they warrant a different response, it seems like, from my from what I've witnessed. So because it's coming from a deeper place, and that really comes through in its expression for all of us, I think
that the place where you just kind of want to, for me, like shut up and just listen, and just like I constantly have these moments in today's conversation where I just feel like we should just stop talking now, we should just like listen to everything that we've just said. Just
should
because
we do
it's
that
so
now?
We could, but
go on.
It's just like, it's so full and so fulfilling, and it just makes you want to feel like, wait, like, let's just stay there a little longer, because I really feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let it sit, let it drop a little deeper, like, I remember when that had never occurred to me, and I remember what it took for me to get there. And there's just so much happening. There's so much unreasonable and discompassionate expectation in our world and in economy, and just the piston that just keeps driving,
the piston,
just
yes.
like, you know, just pushing against us and
penetrating,
probing, just like violating
us.
And instead of massaging and hitting the pressure points in the right way, and it's the same kind, it's the same piston, just could be used for love instead of war and destruction.
That's right.
instead of doing it for destruction. And so, like, to make this even more real, it's like looking around you right now, like, are you listening to us on headphones, or are you in a place where you can listen to this out loud? Are you listening on headphones because it's an actual preference, or is it a matter of safety? If you were to listen to this podcast out loud, would you be violated for listening? Would you be mocked? Would you be bullied? Would you be, you know, anything hurtful for allowing yourself these kinds of opinions and perspectives and openness of what ifs? And for me, especially with a lot of my clients from my NGO work, that's how, like, I've been doing virtual sessions long before virtual sessions and Zoom things were a thing. That was the only safe space for my students to talk to me. Because they go home to abusers every night, and while they're expected to just be on YouTube, they're actually having sessions where they're listening to me talk, and they're typing, and they're answering by typing, and I'm talking.
Wow.
And they're sitting right there next to their violator in their living room, because that's the only place that they have.
Yeah.
Wow. But understanding how all of these tools can be utilized for empowerment if we really allow ourselves to realize where we ourselves are still in violating spaces. As much as I am a very empowered individual and I have come a tremendous way relative to my personal journey and relative to humanity's journey, I'll give myself both, I still navigate a lot of very difficult spaces. And I'm still tested every day. Yes, I do end up rising through them, but I still cry every night, almost every night.
Me too.
I still suffer through a lot of things because there are always newer dimensions to break through.
Yes.
There's always more.
Yes.
The work is never done.
Mm.
And that's the reason why we're really here. So we're here to cultivate infinite responses to the very same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, yes, things do get better. And yes, there are wonderful things out of survival of violation and devastating spaces and abusive spaces. But at the same time, a lot of things don't end. Our turnaround and our capacity just gets stronger.
Mm.
And our unification gets stronger. And that's what Octavia and I are here for in one of the very fundamental, foundational things I'd like to say.
Yes, unlimited responses to the same thing. I just have to go back to that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. That is like, that is Pluto going into Aquarius, and that that is what it means for each and every one of us to be living and speaking our truth exactly as it is, because it has to be that way. It has to, each of us, our truth and our version of authenticity has just as much value as the next person's. And I'm just glad that you said that. There was so much there I wanted to
stop and make love to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for celebrating that point, all of those points, and for being here today. This feels so good to transmit and share with you. And is there anything else? Any last things? I feel like we're coming to a...
Yeah, I think that... I feel like we all need a moment.
Yeah.
Away from each other. Like, you all away from us. Us with each other.
Yeah.
And just to digest what this has done to us. The aftermath of the goodness and the good feeling of connection. Mm. So I just want to put... That's kind of my closing is... Really listen to this as many times as you need to, in 10-minute doses as needed. Like, really just allow yourself to make love to the things that resonate with you. Like, really go in, go deep, soft or hard, whatever you need. Just go all the way with everything that makes you go, that part right there. Like, I don't even know where to start with that. Okay, well, then don't just say that. Give it time. Give it a year. There are people who have changed my life continually for one sentence so many years ago, and I'm still living my response to, yo, I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to do that. Mm. I want to feel that, you know, and I feel that so much for me within me. Like, when I will listen to this by myself later, I'm probably going to cry so much. I'm probably going to be like, dang, Val. Like, okay, Zyla, I see you. Like, wow.
Yeah.
We have come a long, long way with so much more to go. But let's, as I say in my work, let's sit on this little summit within ourselves. Let's look around the mountain. Let's see how far up we've come. Let's look at the view. And let's share it with whoever we can share it with.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful invitation I would like to extend to the listeners, of taking this moment, 29th degree that Saturn is sitting in, from now until March 7th, to find a way to do that for yourself, to whether it's, you know, a transmission, a recording, singing a song, doing a dance, having a connection with someone who you can really feel yourself with,
mm-hmm.
and being able to give yourself that reflection of self through them, through whatever you choose to express. It's so potent in this moment. And I'm just so grateful that we were able to line this up, that all of the all the help that we have from above and around all came together to make this conversation happen.